Well, thank you for choosing this class tonight. As if you had a choice. Well, it was either this or you could teach the 3 and 4 year olds. That's your choices, right? So we have been in a 4 week, kind of a short course, is what we've been calling it, for the month of May, talking about that every part has a place. If you're part of this church, then every part of this church has got a place in this church. And I've tried to come up with some kind of illustrations to help us to visualize that every part is important. You know, there's some things in life where every part apparently is not important. But in the church, every part is important. And so I've tried to come up with something that could, you know, that you could help visualize that. We talked about what makes a car. And there's certain parts of a car that are essential, and yet there are some things that are just accessories. And our point in talking about that is to say, you're not an accessory. You're not an accessory to this thing that we call the church. You are one of the essential parts. It doesn't matter who you are. Everybody is an essential part. Talked about those buttons that are on the end of these shirts. And, you know, you never even touch those buttons that are there. But they're there. It's just not a big deal. And you just don't ever think about those. But maybe those illustrations didn't work. But I got one tonight that's gonna work for you. Maybe you couldn't relate to those other things about cars and shirts. I hope you can relate to some of that. But all right, I think I got one for you tonight. So, have you ever? Do you like four-letter words? You better not. There's a four-letter word for something down in Broward County. It's called IKEA. It gives me the willies just to say the word. But so there's this thing called IKEA, and if you don't know what IKEA is, you just go to Walmart, and they got this section over there where you can buy, you know, dressers, and you can buy little shelving units. You ever bought one of those things? You ever bought a dresser, a shelf, or a cabinet or something, and all right, maybe that's not working for you. You ever bought a children's bicycle? Now, you know, back in the day, you couldn't just go to Walmart and pick one up, back in the day, remember that? I mean, you got a box, and they didn't even have the stickers. Yeah, you had to put the stickers on the bike. Remember that? Some of you are like, what? You couldn't buy a pre-assembled bike? So maybe it's a barbecue grill. Remember back in the day, you couldn't go to Lowe's and just roll your barbecue grill out to the car. It came in pieces, right? All right. So think about you bought something and you're putting it together: a shelf, a cabinet, a barbecue grill, a bicycle. So you're putting all these pieces and you get it done. And you know what happens when you get it done? You're thankful, but when you get it done, you know what happens? You look over here on the floor, and you know what's over here on the floor? A couple screws, 4 nails, and some little plastic thing. Where were those supposed to go? Well, they weren't really supposed to go anywhere. They were just extra. Do you have a drawer in your house that has those? I do. We've got a drawer at our house that's full of those extras. Because you never know when you're going to need a screw. If you ever need a screw, come to my house. I've got drawers full of those extra screws. But you never know, you know, those little, you know, 3/4 inch nails. You never know when you, and those little plastic things, I mean, you can't buy those anyway. So who knows when you're going to need that little plastic, who knows what it is. They're just extras. You throw them in a drawer, you never think about them again. That's not you in the church, all right? You're not the ones laying over on the floor just because somebody had some extra stuff laying around. You're not being thrown in a drawer, never to be thought of again unless, you know, in case of an emergency. You're needed. You're one of the essential parts that's holding that cabinet, that dresser, that bicycle, that barbecue grill. You're one of the essential parts that's holding that together. So tonight the question is, where? You've got a part in the church. Where's your place? Where's your place in the church? So we're going to get to some practical things like we did last week, but last week we ran out of time, so I got to get to them quicker tonight. But just a little biblical thought for you tonight. In Acts chapter 2, what begins in Acts chapter 2? Good, it's not on the screen yet. What begins in Acts 2? Day of Pentecost. And established on the day of Pentecost is the church. All right, so the church begins in Acts chapter 2. 3,000 individuals are baptized. And what does it say the Lord did with those 3,000 individuals who were baptized? What was the verb? What did he do with them? He added them. So here's the church, and he adds. There's a bunch of parts, right? 3,000 parts all at once. are added by the Lord to His church, what are those parts going to do? Was there a place? Was there a place for all of those parts inside of the Lord's church? We used this list, I don't remember how long it's been, maybe 9 or 10 years ago. We used this list to talk about various roles, various jobs, various tasks that if you just read through the book of Acts, and there's more than this, there's only 18 on this list. There's more than this if you read through the book of Acts. But here's just some things. If you read through the book of Acts, everybody found a place in that early church. What kind of stuff did they do? Some of them taught Bible studies. Some of them took care of the widows. Some of them took on some undesirable tasks, like chapter 5, carrying dead people and burying them. We've got a sign-up sheet for that out in the lobby, by the way. Carrying out the dead. No, we don't. But who signed up for that in Acts chapter 5? Oh, I'll do it. It's just something you got to do. Undesirable task. And there's a number of others. Some of them helped new members create bonds in the church. There were some new members in Acts chapter 9, and there were some other members who came along and helped them, and that's talking about what Barnabas did for Saul. Did Barnabas help Saul, a new convert, to be joined to the church and become a part of the church? Yep. And guess what? We need that to happen today. Some of them used their personal skills to do good works for brethren, like Dorcas did. Remember Dorcas when she died? And how those women were all upset. What were they upset about? Look at what all she's done. Some of you do that. Some of these Christians built up and commended and motivated brethren. And some of those are about, again, Barnabas and what he did. Some of them reached out to help others get involved. They were inviting them and bringing them in to various activities of the church. Some of them prayed for specific needs in people. That's not just something little. The church was praying for various things. You can do that. Some of them hosted brethren in their homes. You can do that. Some of them greeted guests when they came to the door. You can do that. Some of them encouraged and mentored young people. Remember what Paul and Barnabas did for young John Mark? Remember what Paul did for young Timothy? You can do that. Some of them took care of missionaries. Some of them provided food for brethren. Some of you did that on Sunday. When we had our graduates luncheon, you provided food for brethren. Some of you do that on a regular basis after people have surgeries. They were doing it back here. Some of them visited and supported brethren who were in need. Some of them greatly helped some folks who were in need. Some of them prepared the Lord's Supper. You say, how do you know? Because Acts 20 and verse 7 says, on the first day of the week, disciples came together to break bread. What'd they do? They came together to take the Lord's Supper. Well, who made the Lord's Supper that Sunday? Somebody did. Somebody made it. Somebody brought it. We don't know the containers that they used, but it didn't just show up there by magic. Somebody got it there. Guess what? Some of you do that. Some of them opened and closed the meeting place. How do you know? Because they met in an upper room and they had to light the lamps. Some of you open and close these doors. David Brown stays until midnight, just like they did in Acts 20. David Brown stays till midnight because the preachers won't shut up. No, because the people won't stop visiting, and he'll stay until you're done visiting. He'll turn the lights out. David Brown, you got Bible for that right there in Acts chapter 20. And so there's jobs that this early church did. Some of them were big. Some of them were not so big. Some of them you've never even thought of as you've read through the book of Acts. But they were there. They had to have happened. What? Well, because somebody's doing them behind the scenes in order for what you're reading about in the book of Acts to actually happen. Is that still true today? Are there some tasks in the church that are more open, more public, more, well, people know that this person is doing this? And are there some tasks in the church that you don't always know who's doing it, but for some reason it just happens? It's still the same way today. So here's the early church. 3,000 parts. Some of you like puzzles, right? You ever done a 3,000-piece puzzle? That's a lot of pieces. And you know what God did? God did what he said he would do in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says, God put them in the body as he pleased. He had a place for every single one of them. He's got a place for every single one of you. And so last week, we reminded us of what we introduced last week in the, or last year in this concept of PBL forever. And not just Palm Beach Lakes forever. That would be fun. I wish people would just stay at Palm Beach Lakes forever. There's some people that don't stay here forever, and it challenges my Christian love for them when they decide not to stay. No, I'm just kidding. Mostly, I'm just kidding. But I wish it could be Palm Beach, but that's not the deal here. But it's talking about the Lord put us in his church. And his church is to be on this earth, to be here forever. His church is not to be destroyed, Daniel chapter 2, verse 44 says. But what's our purpose? Our purpose as PBL forever, our purpose is to please God, number one. Everything we do has got to be focused on pleasing God. Letter B, what's our purpose? Bring the lost to Jesus. That ought to be in our minds on a daily basis. My purpose is to please God in everything I do. My purpose is to, and watch that circle in the middle. My purpose is not just to bring the lost to Jesus. My purpose is to be active and moving in the church to express my love to my brethren. And my responsibility is not to just do that on Sunday mornings and on Wednesday nights. My responsibility is to do that forever to help us get to heaven. Everybody's got a place. Everybody's got a place in PBL forever. And so last week, we started going through the various works that our elders have designed for us in this congregation, something that we have talked about before for this congregation, but I just was trying to review this a little bit, and we did not finish this last week. And so here's what I want to do tonight. I want us to go back through this, but we're gonna take this on two levels as we do, okay? We're going to go through these various aspects, and we're going to build this around the perimeter of the screen. What are the major works? What are the major areas where the elders have designed for us to get involved in the work of the church? And we're going to ask the question, number one, is there something that all of us can do in this area, whether we have signed up for something or not? You know, sometimes what we do is we just wait for somebody to ask us to do something. Well, you know, nobody's asked me to do anything, so I guess there's not anything for me to do in the church. Just because you haven't been asked does not mean there's not something. Go back to the book of Acts. You think everybody in that book of Acts was asked to do everything that they did in the book of Acts? Or did they just see an opportunity and say, oh, got to do this. I'm going to go and do this. That needs to be us. Is to keep our eyes open for opportunities and just step in to do those things. And so we're going to talk about is there something in these areas that all of us can get involved in? And then for a few of these, I'm going to share with you some immediate needs, some immediate opportunities that you could volunteer for tonight, that you could contact somebody tonight and say, put me on your list. I want to do that. All right, so we got through what, two of these? Maybe last week. Number one, and this is all kind of a progression. Number one, it starts with the Great Commission. It starts with sharing the gospel. Do I have to be asked by somebody in this church to reach out to other people with the gospel? Nope. Jesus already sent me that invitation, didn't he? He already gave me that Great Commission. I don't have to be asked by any. I don't have to have one person in this congregation. Hey, could you do this? No, I. Now, there are certain things that we have as tasks in this church where we are trying to get specific things done, and so we can volunteer in those areas, but I don't even have to be asked. If there's lost souls around me, I need to talk to them. And one of the easiest things, we mentioned this last week, one of the easiest things to do, and this isn't the end-all of evangelism in the Great Commission, but one of the easiest things to do is invite people to worship. Just come to church with me. You can invite anybody. Dan, I think everybody at Culver's has got at least two or three invitations from us, because that's just the place. They know us when they see us coming. But you can invite anybody to worship. And we've got materials out there to make that super easy. Now, we invite them to come, and we talked about that more last week, so I'm going to try to move through these first couple a little quicker. Now, once they're here, what do? Do we do anything when folks are in the building? Yeah, we talked about this last week. Now, is this something all of us can be involved in? Yeah. All of us need to have our eyes open to opportunities. All of us need to have our eyes open to seeing those who are guests here with us. From the moment we get out of our car in the parking lot, do you know what the hardest, when somebody comes to worship, when somebody comes to visit with us, when somebody's coming to be a guest here, do you know what the hardest thing for them to do is? To get out of their car and to walk up to the building. You know what would be really easy for them to do? Pull through the parking lot, make a U-turn, go back down Leo Lane. Oh, whew, got to the church property today. That's a good step for me. You know what's harder? Park, turn it off, get out. Where am I going? Who am I going to see? Wow, that's a lot of doors. Which door am I supposed to go in? Once I get inside, what's supposed to happen? You want to talk about nervousness? You want to talk about, I don't know what I'm doing? You want to talk about, I'd rather be anywhere else but here right now? What do they need? They need us with our eyes open, our hands open, with a smile on our face. So that can be any one of us from when you're getting out of your car, looking around, seeing who's around, when you're in the lobby, when every part of this building. Now, that's every one of us. Now, Eugene Williams is the one who is responsible for assigning our greeters. And so here are some areas where Eugene Williams says he can use you to sign up. Now, again, all of us can do this, but our elders want to make sure that we know that there are people that are doing that, that we're just hoping some folks do it, but that every week there are some people that have been tasked to do this. So Eugene Williams says he needs some pre-worship greeters, people who will be out in the lobby. Here's what Eugene says. A smile and a warm heart that says, "Welcome, we are glad you are here to make our guests feel at home, and if they are looking for a church family, this is it." You want to sign up to be a pre-worship greeter? That means you got to be here before worship, by the way. Just saying. It means you got to be here before Bible class. I mean, just saying. He needs some individuals who can be the escorts of some of those guests to Bible class, because just saying, "Hey, yeah, oh, you got kids? Yeah, go down that hallway." Okay, at least you know the direction, right? But there's only, I counted this afternoon, there's only 4 million doors down this hallway. Now, which one am I supposed to go in? And sometimes the people down this hallway, are very friendly, and sometimes there's kids running around, and wow, it gets kind of chaotic. Where am I supposed to go? What if there was somebody out in the lobby who could just walk with that person down here? And, oh, your child is in second grade. Here you go. Meet teacher so-and-so and introduce them to the teacher. Wouldn't that be nice? Eugene Williams can use your help on that. And also post-worship greeters that can be. Now, again, we can do, all of us can do this, but he needs post-worship greeters to thank our guests for coming and to ask them to come in again. He says, "For our guests, greeting is a first." This is right about Eugene. I didn't even coach Eugene to say this. "For our guests, greeting is a first impression. It makes a difference. We need you." That's a first impression. What if they don't get greeted? Is that a first impression too? Oh, yeah, it's just a different kind of first impression. I'm spending too much time here. We've got more to get to. This is something all of us can be involved in, but Eugene needs some people that he can call upon to make sure that every week these things for sure have some individuals that are involved here. Number three on this list is, did we get to this point last week? Yeah, we did, right at the very end. We're inviting people to come. What do we do when they're here? All right, now worship is over. Now what? It's not done, but we're trying to follow up with them and encourage them. And so we mentioned, I remember holding these up last week. I'm not going to pass these out tonight because they're a week old. if you're a member here, and if you have email, I guess I should say that too, you get this in your email every week, a list about the individuals who have visited here that Sunday and given us their mailing address. You get this every week. What a gold mine. Jesus says, behold, lift up your eyes, look on the fields, for they are on a white piece of paper. They are white unto harvest. They're ready for you. And they've already come here. And just a thank you for coming. I'm so glad you came. Hope you'll come again. Have a great week. Not writing to them and writing the whole Bible to them and telling them all the verses they need to know. It's just a nice thank you. Hope you'll come. Simple, warm, so that they'll say, you know what? That's a nice church family over there. Writing those handwritten cards, great way to do it. Inviting them to come back. All right, so we got that far. We got that far last week. Then what do you do? We need to study with them. We need to find an opportunity, whether it's people who have been here to worship or whether it's people that we're talking to outside of this assembly. We need to find opportunities to teach the gospel. The honest truth is, Jesus did not say, go into all the world and invite everybody to church. I mean, that is a method of using an opportunity to reach somebody, to bridge a gap, and to help them come to the Lord and help them to learn things. But Jesus said, go into all the world, and we need to preach. We need to find opportunities to do that. And that's why we have materials out there on that table. They're always there for us to take and to use. That's why we have materials on our website for us to take and to use to make teaching easy. And it can be easy. We've talked about that. It can be something that's enjoyable and something that we want to do. Not that we have to do, but something that we want to do. You know, I grew... This is not going to make sense to you. I grew up, and I used to think Brussels sprouts were weird. I just looked at Brussels sprouts, and I thought, why in the world would anybody ever. And so, you know, I just was like, nope, not my deal. And now I look back and I'm like, I wasted all of those years not liking Brussels sprouts. I mean, for the rest of you who don't know, they're good. I mean, you got to do them right, but they're good. All right. So why am I even mentioning it? Sometimes we say, no, you know, that's not really for me. I'm not going to do that. You know, I'm not really good at that. And we stay away from teaching somebody the gospel. But when you do it, it's like, oh, this is good. I like this. I want some more of this. Once you do it, once you start, once you find the joy of it, you want to do it some more. So, again, this the progress that we're making through this, hopefully, and this doesn't always happen, but hopefully through the process of time and process of teaching, we are able to help somebody to be baptized into Christ and they become a part of this family. Whew, okay, good. We got them in the door. We wrote cards to them. We patted them on the back. We said, please come back. We got them in the water. All right. We're done. Good. All right, let's find some more people. Is that what we need to do? It's the worst thing we can do for that person is to say, well, we got them in the water. Now they've got to fend for themselves. When that baby was born in the hospital, and you were in there in the hospital with that baby, did you say to that baby, well, you know, spent 9 months on you. Whew. I gave you 9 of my best months. I nurtured you, gave you my all. Now you're here. Good luck. Hope you can make it. Is that what you did? I don't believe so, because your work was just starting at that point. And you spent a lot of time and care and nurture and effort and making sure that that baby could grow into a healthy, functioning, productive adult. Don't we need to do that for babes in Christ? If we leave them to fend for themselves, spiritually speaking, they're going to be just as good as if we were to leave a literal physical baby to fend for themselves. So you're like, all right, well, how do I know who the new members are? I'm so glad you asked. You should have asked that about 2 minutes ago. How do we know who the new members are? Well, one way you know is they're going to be in the bulletin. I mean, well, one way you know is you come here, and on Sundays they're going to be announced. You're going to learn who they are. They're going to be in the bulletin. The elders are going to meet with them and take their mugshot, their picture, and it's going to be on the front of the bulletin. You're going to be like, that's who they are. They're going to be in your church directory once a new one is published and printed. So there's all sorts of mechanisms by which you can know who they are. But I need some guys who can pass these out for me. John, I'm going to impose on you to help me pass some out. Phil, I'm going to impose on you to help pass some out. You know what? Diane, I'm going to ask you. Bobby, can you pass some out here? Give a couple to Bobby there, Diane. I asked Phil and I didn't keep any paper. So I don't know if you're familiar with this. This is not my opportunity sheet. That's what you get in the email on Monday. This is my opportunity packet. Similar name, different function. This sits, every month is updated. It sits underneath the track rack right out there all of the time. You may have walked by this a million times and never known it was there. But I'm not going to spend time, because I need to get some other stuff, I'm not going to spend time rehearsing everything that's here, but you can see what is here. On the front of it, you've got a listing of the new members. So if you need to know who are, now, it may not have the last couple weeks if somebody's come in the last couple weeks and this hasn't been updated because it's done about once every month, but you've got a gold mine right here with that information. All right, I need to keep moving. I'm going to come back to this in just a second. So people become members here. And then not only do we try to encourage those new members, but we also try to keep encouraging everybody, not just new members. We try to keep doing what we can for all of our members, all right? So tell me how we can do that. I know you're looking at that handout. Just hold on to that for a second. On a general basis, how can all of us be involved in serving and encouraging each other? What can we do? Phone calls. Does your phone still work? Yeah. If you got it on, Trudy. Okay, so you know that bulletin that's out there on the stands in the lobby and that thing you get in the email nearly every Thursday? You know that's like a gold mine of information. When somebody's listed in there as being sick, some of you don't want to be on that list, by the way. Some of you, even if you're on your deathbed and you've had, you know, everything happen to you and you're almost breathing your last breath, you're like, nope, don't put me on the prayer list. You're like, okay. So some of you are, that's okay. That's all right. We try to respect that. But you've got a list of people who are members of this church who've got stuff going on in their life. Can you encourage them? Yeah. What else can we do? Cards. We need more card writers. There's not a sign-up sheet for that. Some of the best things that have been done in the history of this church are people who handwrite cards, and sometimes handwrite cards for no reason. All right. I mean, there's the birthday cards, there's the anniversary cards, there's the and there's the cards that people get when you know what people need. When their loved one has passed, you know what they need? They need a stack of handwritten cards. And many of you have shown that stack of cards that you've gotten in the mail from brothers and sister Christ here. It's a dying, it's a lost art. Because you can just text now, and texting is free. You know, except what do they say at the end of those advertisements? You know, SMS or what? You know, fees apply, whatever. But I know cards cost money. I know postage is crazy. But those handwritten cards are worth every dollar you spend. Sometimes, what'd you say? You can, hey, you can spend the gas money and deliver it to them. Even better. And it's so meaningful to get those because somebody spent time, they spent effort, and sometimes it's not just when somebody's passed away, when there's been a sickness or something, but just for no reason at all. You know, every 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years, we don't do it a lot, but sometimes we've done those appreciagrams, you know what I'm talking about, that we've had out in the lobby. We don't do them a lot because for a number of reasons. We don't do them a lot. But every so often we'll do them. You know what that does? When you get 50 cards with a handwritten message from a brother or sister, I'm not saying don't text. I'm not saying don't email or anything like that. All of that's great. Keep doing that. Keep sending cards. Anything else you can think of we can do to encourage each other and serve each other? Be together. What'd you say, Eva? A phone call. Attending. Just being here. Just being here. Is that encouraging to see each other? Okay. So at the various events that are had, whether it's a church-wide event, a specific age group event, having people in your home, being hospitable, inviting people for dinner. Trudy? Yep. Trudy's good at that. Now, not all of you need to call somebody and sing like Trudy does. All right? That may not be overly comforting for some of you to do that. We're talking about, I think the word is encourage, and I'm, you know, so take that into consideration. But anyway, we've got a responsibility to do that. Now, there are some specific individuals like widows and shut-ins that we need to pay special attention to. John Holzer is trying to spearhead our efforts and helping us to do what we can for widows and shut-ins. So here's two things John Holzer says he could use. He could use an Excel spreadsheet wizard. He could use an electronic communications expert. If you want to know what that means, talk to John Holzer and get that. But if that's you, you know, you may say, well, I'm not good at handwriting cards, but I know Excel. All right, but if that's something you can do, then there's an opportunity. Now, this is something, an area where all of us can be involved, and then there's specific opportunities. There's opportunities for us to fellowship with brethren, and that's especially talking about these church-wide events, being here, being with each other. There's opportunities for us to teach our children, teach the Bible classes here. You know, it's a challenge sometimes. Maybe I should not use the word sometimes. It is a challenge to find Bible class teachers. Yeah, I'm just going to take the word sometimes right out of that sentence. It's a challenge to find Bible class teachers, people who are willing to teach especially our children's classes. Here's the thing. You teach our children's classes, you're going to teach for 12 weeks. If you teach Cradle Roll or toddlers, you're going to teach for 13 weeks. That's not bad. You're going to be given curriculum. You're going to be given material. Here you go. Here's what you teach. If you're teaching age 3 to grade 5, you're given a binder that has everything you need in order to prepare and get ready to teach that class. You walk in, poof, and you get to make an eternal difference in the lives of those kids. Some of you grew up in the church. Well, I could spend 4 hours talking about this. Some of you grew up in the church, and you remember your Bible class teachers. You might remember a whole lot of other things. You remember your... Now, there's some Bible class teachers I remember fondly, and there's the other Bible class teachers. But I have Bible class teachers. There was one Bible class teacher that he did not like our 6th and 7th grade class very well. Anyway, I'll just leave that over here. But there was Scott, there was good reason he didn't like our, it wasn't Scott the teacher, but I'm just thinking, there's probably good reason he didn't like our 6th and 7th, you know what I'm talking about. Anyway, there's probably good reason he didn't like our 6th. Anyway, whoop, but there's those other Bible class teachers that you remember growing up. You need to be that for these kids. You need to be that teacher that these kids remember, making an eternal difference in their lives. There are things that we can all do in preparing for worship. Hopefully we all do preparations for worship. Hopefully not just in a physical way from what we do preparatory for our bodies and our clothing, but hopefully more mentally, spiritually, emotionally, getting our hearts ready. You know, sometimes that's hard. Sometimes we're everywhere else in our minds, we show up here and, okay, now I'm in church mode. That's all right, but I ought to be coming here and thinking about, what do I get to do when I get here? I get to be in the presence of God. I get to worship Him with the best people on the face of this earth. So there's things that we can all do in preparation, but there are some specific things that you can be involved in, even in preparation in here. So here's what Victor College needs. Victor College is in charge of the prep of the communion. So if you can be involved in helping him bake the communion bread once a month, for 1 month, not once a month, but for a month, or if you can help prepare communion trays for 1 month, you need to contact Victor College. Say, hey, I'm your person. If you need bread baked, if you need the trays prepped and cleaned for a month, put me on your list and I'll do it. You know our boys pick up cards on Sundays? Jeff Goodell has been in charge of that probably since Shem, Ham, and Japheth, we're doing the cards, I remember. But anyway, Jeff could use somebody to help supervise the boys when they're picking up cards. See Jeff tonight if you're willing to do that. Rick Hall is it? Boy, Rick Hall does an awesome job. Rick's got a huge job. He coordinates everything that happens in our worship service with our men, and you guys know that. But he can use more guys who can serve at the table and lead prayers and serve as ushers and take on those roles that are involved in our worship service. So if you're not on Rick's list, you need to be, guys. Let Rick know where you can help out. Or maybe you're somebody who can run the sound system and ring the bells just like David Brown did. And boy, David Brown's like spot on the bells. He could train everybody how to ring. Anyway, if you can run the sound system, you can run PowerPoint. If you know how to turn a computer on and operate a computer and can run a PowerPoint during worship, see Buzz Nelson. Talk to Buzz about our AV stuff. And then Mary Porter works with our nursery attendants. We try to have ladies in there on Sunday mornings to be in there to help with the moms who bring their children. So if you can help with that, see Mary Porter. All right. There's things that all of us can do, but these are specific needs that these people have told me in the last 2 weeks. I need some, so it's not just random stuff. These people have told me the last 2 weeks need help here. All right, so you go around the horn here, and it leads to, all right, coming over here to this part about church property. Is there anything that all of us can do to help maintain the church property? I'm not talking about getting out there on the mower. All right, we're not going to let you on the mower. Say, Julie, will you please, you didn't say that loud enough. Will you please say that louder?
If you see trash, pick it up.
Ah, that's beautiful. If you see trash, pick it up. Anywhere, right? And we're in the parking lot, in the building, in the bathrooms. I mean, just think from a guest standpoint, Do you clean up your, don't answer this out loud. Do you clean up your house before folks come over? I mean, you generally pick up the trash and try to make it look presentable. Can you imagine being a guest and they come and there's just kind of clutter around? So bathrooms, the pews. It's interesting what this place looks like on Sunday afternoons, by the way. After Sunday morning worship and before Sunday evening worship, it's kind of interesting to walk in here and just look. But if you know, what do they say? If you see something, say something. If you see something, pick up something. That's a new coin phrase. But is there something that specific areas? Here's what Ivan says. He needs somebody who can help clean and arrange the storage building, pull weeds, pressure wash the curbs, and do some touch-up painting inside the building. All right, so those are things, some specific things. If I can get those same guys to help me pass out stuff, I've got 2 minutes. Actually, I need more guys because I got a lot of stuff to pass out. So if I can get a handful of guys to come up, help me pass out some stuff. We got to wrap all of this up tonight. Here's what they're going to come around and give you, all right? First thing they're going to do is they're going to give you this little blue thing. Oh, man, you guys are awesome. They're going to give you this blue thing that's called 99 Things You Can Do. Some of you've seen this before. 99 Things You Can Do for the Lord Without a Program, all right? You can do it without a program. I got more stuff. They're coming. These things. So these are things you don't have to sign up to do. You can just do it without signing up. Last one, Ed. All right, so And then the other thing that's coming around is a little card that has this whole thing on it. So you can remember what I can be involved in, whether I sign up for it or not, or in specific areas, signing up for things. And so everybody's going to get all of this to take home. But look through the blue thing. It's going to give you some, oh, I can do that. And I don't have to wait for somebody to ask me to do that. It's stuff that anybody in the church can do. But all of us have a part that we can play in this church. We all have a place. If you're a member of this church, if you are a member of this church, then you have likely filled out this little booklet. It's called Labors Together with God. It has about 56 specific opportunities to serve in the church. I don't have any, well, I've got a few of these, but not to pass out. If you're a member of this church and you've never filled out one of these booklets, get one from me tonight, and I will give it to you so that you can know some specific areas where you can jump in and get involved. Obviously, the work of the church is not limited to these things, okay? It's not limited to these areas. There's obviously more that can be done. The point is, there's a place for every part of this body to get involved. You are not an accessory. You're not. You're not a leftover piece that's over there on the floor. Well, we didn't need that. We're just going to throw it in a drawer. You are an essential working part of the greatest organism that's ever been on this earth called the church. That's what you are. And you are needed. And if something hasn't struck you in the last couple nights, if you're still not seeing something, well, that's what I want to be involved in, then talk to the elders and they'll help you. If you've got an idea, well, you know, I'd like to be doing this, but I don't see it on a list somewhere, then talk to the elders. And let's be a part of the greatest thing that the Lord's ever put on this earth, the body that He died for and shed His blood for. Palm Beach Lakes is a special place. If you've never gotten one of these stickers with the PBL Forever, I've got some of these stickers tonight. Come and get this sticker for me to be reminded that we need to be PBL Forever. We need to be pleasing God, bringing the lost to Jesus, and loving the brethren so that we can all get to heaven together. I've gone over time. Thank you for being here tonight.